friends. Should we turn to John chapter 2? John's Gospel, chapter 2. Let's pray together before we read. Pray for the children as that the Lord would minister to them as well. Lord, thank you that we can always expect you to speak to us, that you always have a word for us. And we pray now that your Spirit would come upon us as a group, upon me as I bring the word, and upon us as a group to hear what you are saying. Father, may it be a living word that speaks right into the depths of our hearts, that brings change, that brings reality, that we would see you, Lord Jesus, as you really are. Oh God, may we know your grace and your mercy as we expect to hear from you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, John's Gospel and chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. So we have this situation of this wedding, a feast, this wedding party, as it were. And they come to the problem, everything, they've been having a good time, they've been celebrating together. They've been full of joy and laughter, no doubt, and celebrating this wedding. But then there comes a stage in the wedding where they run out of wine. And when they have nothing to offer to the guests, they reach a place where it's embarrassing, and the party really is going to fizzle out because there's no wine left, there's nothing to offer them, and what has been a time of joy and a time of laughter and a time of excitement and encouragement has come to an end. And so they're faced with this problem. And for us as Christians here today, you know, that can be true of us, that we got saved and maybe things were starting to go right in our lives, and God met with us, and we were full of joy, and we were full of excitement, and we were knowing the power of God. But as time went on, something happened in our lives, and it seemed as if our resources were kind of drained, and the joy that we used to have seemed to be depleted. These people would have gone, the guests at the wedding would have gone to the master of the feast, they'd have gone to the waiters or whatever, the servants, and said, "Can we have wine?" And what they had to start with, the amount of wine they had to start with was gradually getting depleted. And it was running down to the place where there was no wine left. And that can be so true of us, that we start the Christian life and we're in a place earlier in our lives perhaps where we're full of joy and we're knowing the power of God and everything seems so good. But as we go through life, people keep drawing from us, and different situations in this world keep drawing from us and taking out of us, it seems. And the joy that we once had seems so much to be depleted. And we look at our lives now and we say, "Where is the joy I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where has it gone to?" And we come to the place where we realize that things are not going as they should be. And as you think of how a wedding should be. It should be such a place of joy and happiness. A couple has just got married, but you see, as the wine ran out, it would have been brought to a place where it was just dreary, frankly. They were just perhaps tired and said, well, we might as well go home. There's no point being here. The wine is gone, the fun, the laughter is gone. Let's go home. And sometimes for us as Christians, the joy's gone out of our lives. The laughter, the excitement's gone out of our lives. And we say, we might as well go home. We might as well go to be with the Lord. This life has got nothing left to offer us. And we realize that our Christian lives are not as they should be. Just as in at the wedding that should have been full of joy and life. And so our Christian lives should be full of joy and life. And sometimes we reach the place where that's no longer true. And we wonder why it has happened. But you see, the situation here was not without remedy because Jesus was there. And when Jesus is there, even though things have gone wrong, it's not the end of the story. They might have run out of wine at that period of time, but it wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the party for them because Jesus was there. And we can say the same for our lives. However bad things have got, it's not the end of the story because Jesus is here, because Jesus is with us. And because Jesus is with us, we have everything we need to solve the problem, to change us, and to bring a transformation in our lives, and to bring back the joy. Jesus was there, they had no wine. And yet Jesus was there with the power to bring a transformation and to bring back the wine. Not just to bring comfort. He wasn't just there to say, it doesn't matter that you have no wine. Everything, you know, we've had a good time. You had a good time earlier in the party, but we've come to the end. Jesus wasn't just there to comfort and encourage, but Jesus was there to bring a transformation. And the same is true of our lives, that Jesus is here. Jesus is present with us to bring a transformation and to bring the joy back, to bring the life back, to bring the excitement back. Whatever it is that has caused us to be discouraged in our Christian lives. But it says that there are two key things that led to the restoration of the wine, the restoration of the joy to the situation there. Now, it says that Jesus was there, and it says, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Here they had these water pots, stone water pots, and they're full of water. And Jesus says to them to take them to the governor of the feast. Why were there water pots there? Well, it speaks to us of cleansing. There they had this ceremonial cleansing as they gathered together, where they would wash their hands, they would bathe themselves, to wash themselves, to make them clean in readiness for the feast, in readiness for an experience together of joy, and that was to prepare the way. And so Jesus, when they've come into this position where they don't have the joy left, when they don't have the excitement, what Jesus says is to them, is to take these water pots of water. And it speaks to us of one of the key things that we need when we are wanting the joy to return to our lives. And that is to make sure our sins are dealt with. You see, we can so often come into the presence of God and say, why am I not experiencing the power of God? Where is the joy that once I knew when I was first walking with God? And what we haven't seen is so often that there are things that have come into our lives that shouldn't be there. We as Christians, we're wanting to do the right thing, but somehow we've lost sight of the purity, of the holiness that we're supposed to walk in. And though we would generally think that we're walking in holiness, we're not walking in sin, yet something has come into our lives and the joy is no longer there. And when we are perhaps looking at this situation, we're looking at our lives. The indication that there is something wrong in our lives is the fact that the joy isn't there. Because the fact that the joy should be there is a key hallmark of the forgiven Christian. You know, when we get saved, God comes with us with blessing. He not only forgives us, but he brings healing and he brings joy. And when we have that joy missing from our lives, it's an indication that something has come that's wrong in our lives. And so when Jesus says to them to take the water pots, he was symbolizing something in our lives that we cannot be compromising in sin. And so often things come into our lives, and sometimes we come to the place where, as believers, we think because we've walked a long time with the Lord, then some of these small things don't matter. I know the Lord. I have this relationship with him. And it causes us to overlook the small sins. It causes us to overlook the pride. It causes us to overlook tiny things that when first we got saved were so important to us. When first we got saved, we had such an experience of the holiness of God, the awesomeness of God, the majesty of God, that we wouldn't allow sin into our lives. When we had something small, we were so in fear of God that we'd bring it before God and say, oh no, I've failed. We thought perhaps we would never sin in the whole of our Christian lives. But when we did, we said, oh God, I've failed. I've bring it before you. I need to get right. But there's a certain thing that happens as we go on with God, is that we become relaxed. And sometimes we become complacent. And we've done it. And we've confessed our sins time and time again. And we've gone through trials. We've gone through problems. And it's just made us sometimes feel so fed up that we've allowed sin to come back into our lives. And it's there in our hearts. And sin is there in our hearts. And we're no longer as serious about it as when we first met with the Lord, when we first saw the Lord. And the sin is there. And we don't really realize it. And perhaps no one else particularly knows. But there's something missing in our lives. The joy is missing. The excitement is missing. The filling with the Holy Spirit is missing. The life is missing. And we say, why has it happened? And God says, you need to take those pots of water again. Just as you did at the beginning of the feast. And they would have at the beginning of the feast had the pots of water. And now he says you've come to a certain stage in the feast where again you need to take the pots of water and you need to bring them out and remind yourself of the importance of cleansing and the importance of getting right with God. Because no man can do that. But God can do that. And so only God can see what's in our hearts. And so it has to be the moving of the Holy Spirit, a word from the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives and says, I see it. I see it, and the reason I've withheld my joy from you, the reason you've run out of wine in your life, is because you've become complacent over sin. And you see, we have to have a zero tolerance over sin. We cannot be complacent. We cannot take the attitude which is so prevalent in the church today, which says, well, everyone sins. We have a tolerance of sin. It's just accepted that there is sin in our life. Well, you can be a Christian and sin still be in your life. But you can't be a joy-filled, spirit-filled Christian and still have sin in your life. And so God is wanting to shine the light into our lives and say, open your eyes. This is why you don't have joy today. This is why you don't have life today, because you become complacent on sin. And I'm still the same. I'm still the one who pours in joy to your life. I'm still the one who pours in the Holy Spirit, who gives you a power to serve me, a power to live life at a different level. But the only difference is you've compromised, you've allowed sin in your life. Why? Because you said, I've been at this game such a long time. I've been living the Christian life such a long time. But the truth is, however long we've lived the Christian life, there never comes a place where sin is allowed to reign in us. When you read in 1 John chapter 1, it speaks about this, that great revival letter, 1 John, and he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that's very often the situation of us as Christians, that there are areas of darkness in our lives. And it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then he says, if you walk in the darkness and say you have fellowship with him, we lie and we do not do the truth. If there's any area of our lives that is hidden, some dark area, unforgiveness, lack of love, criticism, lust, all sorts of different things, pride, self-focus. When these things, when we are compromised on them and we tolerate them and we allow them to remain in our lives, we can't say that we have fellowship with God. And so all the life, the joy flows out of us and we're deceiving ourselves. But as we think of who Jesus is and how Jesus was at the feast, how Jesus is always there, ready, willing, able to cleanse us from sin and to restore to us all the joy of our salvation, to restore to us all the life, restore to us all the filling with the Holy Spirit, as great as we've ever known or greater. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The provision is there, the cleansing is there, but we have to bring it into the light. We have to be honest about it and say, yes, this is me. I have been compromising, and these things are real. And when we deal with God, we have to remember that we're dealing with truth. We're dealing with reality. They say that reality, people who have really understood revival and walked in it, say reality is at the heart of revival. And this is reality. When we're real to God and actually are serious about our sins and bring them before God and say, yes, this is sin. I'm going to call it sin and I'm going to bring it before you and get forgiven, get cleansed on it and be set free from it. I'm no longer going to walk in sin, but I'm going to bring it before you. And so often we're hiding it. So often we're pretending. We're pretending everything's okay. And so many of the troubles that we see in our lives, we complain about the troubles and they're so often rooted in the fact that the joy is not in us, the life is not in us, the power of the Holy Spirit is not in us, and that's because we've allowed sin to remain in us. So black and white. You know, in days of old, it was Christianity was so clear. It was about dealing with sin. It was about being right with God, not walking in it. In today's church, it's so much about compromise and your lifestyle is okay. That's how you like to live. That's okay. It may contradict the Bible, but we show you love. But that's not the way God works. And of old, it was about being serious about sin, and we do not tolerate sin in our lives. And if we could return to that as individuals, as a church nationwide, we would see revival, because that is revival. When we ourselves get right with God, and it simply opens the way for the power of God, the life, the joy of God to fill us once more. I wonder this morning, do we need to bring some things out into the light and say yes? Maybe just because of discouragement, the things I've been through, the people who have been, as it were, drawing from me, draining me. So many things gone wrong, but now I need to get right with you again. I need to bring some things into the light for you to cleanse me. Hallelujah. And the second thing that I just want to draw out from this passage is what Mary says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And they had the instruction. They were to get the water pots of water and take them to the governor of the feast. They had to be obedient. They had to do what the Lord wanted. And you know, the other reason, the other way, the thing that's necessary in order for us to get our joy back is actually to be obedient to the Lord. Yes, first of all, in getting right over our sins, but also whatever the Lord tells us to do that. We have to do it. You see, if he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it's something we need to do. If he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, it's something that we need to do. If he says to us, love one another, it's something that we need to do. Every commandment of God is something that we need to do, and most particularly what God is calling us to do in our own lives. The word of God is what God is saying to us today, isn't it? This is the word of God in one sense, but there's also the word of God of what God is saying to us today. And so when God is speaking into our lives and he's saying, I'm calling you to do this, if there's no obedience, there's no blessing. And so they were told to take these jars of water and take them to the governor of the feast. If they had not been obedient in what they were told to do, there never would have been wine. I don't suppose Jesus would have gone and taken them to them. He'd given them something to do. And they had to go and they had to fulfill it. And they must have been perhaps very good servants, or they'd sensed the authority and the power of Jesus when he spoke these things, because it just says that they did it. They were just obedient. There's no sense of them going to the governor of the feast and saying, well, this guest at the feast has told us to do this. He's told us to take these jars of water and bring them to you, but we can't really see where this is ending. We can't really understand what this is all about. So he didn't bother. We thought we'd come up with another solution to our problem. We know we want wine, we want a replacement, we want the party to continue, but we don't think this is really the way forward. We think we might be better to go to a neighbour, see if we can borrow a bit of their wine, maybe if we can find a shop that's still open at this time, go and buy wine. But we don't really think that what Jesus has said is the answer. And you know, that is so true of us very often. That it's so clear that if we bring our sins to Jesus and get right with him, we will get the joy back. And we will try everything else rather than do the real thing, rather than do what God actually requires. We think, maybe I can borrow your joy. I'm going to come round and, you know, you can cheer me up. I'm not going to have my own joy from Jesus, but you're going to cheer me up. Maybe I'm going to do something else. Maybe buy something and cheer me up. Find some other means to cheer myself up, to bring the joy back. And we keep struggling and we never get any better. We never get the joy back because we're not being obedient to Jesus. Jesus says, if you will do it, it's so simple. It's so simple. You only have to bring your sins to me. You only have to admit it. You don't have to pay for them yourself. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to pay money to get it. You simply come to me and you say, yes, this is what I am. This is where I am. These are the sins that I've committed. Lord, forgive me and restore me. And he does it. If I may put it like this, very reverently, that's what he's there for. He was there at the feast to change things, to bring a transformation. He's here, present with us today. He's in our lives to do that. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's there to forgive us our sins. If we will simply come before him and bring them to Jesus, it will be the transformation, it will be the one answer to our problem that we need. And the question is to us today, will we be obedient and actually bring them before the Lord? Bring our sins that are so causing us to struggle, so causing us to lack joy. Are we willing to bring them actually before Jesus and say, yes, do what I need. Do the one thing that I need. Or are you going to keep saying, I don't have joy, but I haven't done that one thing. And I just want to, in closing, says this was the beginning of miracles. Because you see, once Jesus comes into your life and he restores the joy, when he restores you, as you confess your sin to him and you get right with him, that's the beginning of miracles in your life. It's the first step to yet more things happening. The cleansing from sin is such a wonderful thing, but it's only the beginning. It's the beginning of restoration, and it's the beginning of a time when you're going to be so powerfully used in God's service. God has so much for us to do. He has so many wonderful paths for us to walk in. He can use us, as I was saying to the teenagers in the youth Bible study, I was saying the experience of being used by God surpasses everything else. Knowing the power of God in your life, when you speak maybe to an individual, maybe to a group, and you feel the power of God in your life and the Spirit flowing through you, and you say, this isn't me. God has taken over and he's doing something through me. Nothing surpasses that experience. And this is what God says. You get right with me, it will be the beginning of miracles. I will do such extraordinary things through you. Things I can't do while you're compromising on sin. But once you get right with me, I can move through you in such power, you will never look back. And the things you were perhaps compromising on, you'll say, I'm so enjoying now the power of God, the experience, the miracles, the experience of walking with God, knowing his power in my life. I realized everything else was absolute rubbish. I wonder this morning, can we be real with God? And however long we've been a Christian, however perhaps right we think we are before God, actually bring it before him and say, there are still these areas. And as we bring them before God, the Spirit will fill us, the joy will return, we will have life, we'll have a testimony, and God will do miracles through us. Amen. Amen.